The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions. Welcome back, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of Straight Talk Money. I'm Peggy Tuck, along with Chase Robertson, and we're really excited today because we have a wonderful technical analyst on here because, you know, the markets are giving us all kinds of signals. So we're going to see if we can decipher some of them. We've got Craig Johnson. He is Piper Jaffray Investment Research Managing Director and Senior Technical Research Analyst, and he directs Piper Jaffray's Technical Research Group. He often offers technical commentary on a broader market as well as individual stocks. But today he's here to help us and see if we can make some sense of the direction of the market. So good morning, Craig. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, I have to say, this year, and actually since the election, it's just been, a whirlwind, I guess, of activity. The Dow has made 4,400-point rally in a year. And so, I mean, where's it? And now it seems like it's starting off pulling back just a little bit. So where are we heading now?
Well, that's a wonderful question. But let me ask this question back to you. We've made this great run in the market. Is anybody happy? Do we find that many investors that are happy out there at this point in time?
We got some happy investors.
Well, I talk to a lot of institutions on a regular basis, and I find that even though we're making all-time new highs, people are very nervous. They're not happy. They're continuing to see compression throughout the entire financial services industry. That's one other separate topic. But when you bring it back to the market itself, I'll tell you that a lot of people are nervous. They're concerned, and there's no euphoria out there. And that's really the point I'm trying to get to. That everybody is concerned that there's going to be some sort of very big pullback, some sort of big correction. This move has been unsustainable. But when you step back and you think about the big picture, you really have three R's that are happening right now. You've got rotation, meaning sector rotation, which is really a healthy thing to have happen in the market. We're seeing a rotation happening. We're also seeing rates, and those are moving up, and you're starting to see the reflation trade coming back. And that's certainly got a lot of acceleration post the Trump election. But really, that inflation trade started to really unfold in early 2016 when you saw the basic materials sector and you started seeing some of those stocks really start to perform well. But this move in the market, very few people believe in it, and hence we just continue to climb that old proverbial wall of worry. And I think that this market still has more room to work and more room to run.
Craig, one of the things that we track, or one of the technical indicators that we track at Robertson Wealth Management is we track whenever there's a pullback, what kind of new money is flooding in, and is it retail money? And, we're kind of following the thought process or theme of, retail investors being on the sideline and coming in at every pullback because they have the fear of missing kind of the next rally. Do you see anything, do you follow any charts that kind of touch on those points?
Well, I mean, you can look at some of the AAII numbers and readings, and those came out, and you're seeing some investment levels that, are higher than they have been over the last, 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. But I would tell you right now that, yes, every little pullback in this market is getting purchased. People have had too much cash, and from an individual, investor perspective, there's also this bit of a rotation coming out of fixed income and going into equities. But yep. It's right now not going into active management funds, it's going into passive funds. But yeah, every little pullback is getting bought.
And let me ask you this, speaking of charts, listeners, Craig is a technical analyst, so Craig follows charts, volume, just where stocks are going from a chartist standpoint. Fundamental analyst is looking at the balance sheet. It's looking at cash flow. Craig, on the technical side, is there a chart that you really like or really look to in your research?
Yeah, well, a couple things I'm going to do. From the popular averages, I'm going to pull up the charts, And I like to look at weekly charts versus daily charts because I'm trying to reduce some of the day-to-day noise that is happening in the market with all the machine trading and algo trading and everything else that takes place. But what I would say is that when you look at all the charts, there aren't any uptrend violations happening in the market, meaning that charts that are breaking a series of higher highs and higher lows, we're not seeing those kind of breaks happening. You're continuing to see uptrends intact. I also like to look at, Chase, I like to look at the breadth of the market, meaning how many stocks are above their rising or falling 40-week moving averages. And right now, we've got somewhere around 78% of every single stock on the New York and NASDAQ above a $25 million market cap and a $2 price above their 40-week moving average. And that is a good sign because tops in the market typically can take months and years to unfold. And we're sitting here with, at the very early days, because again, rewind 1 year ago, we were coming out of a pretty healthy correction in February, March of last year. And we have seen this market continue just to grind and grind higher. But we've got a really healthy number of stocks above their 40-week moving averages. And that's a good sign. And last week, breadth of the market, meaning the stocks that were actually moving up, Russell 2000 value line, actually improved and became a much larger number. So this move up is actually broadening out. And in the technical world, that's a positive or bullish sign.
Now, you mentioned the moving average. The S&P 500 now has gone 98 days without falling below its 50-day moving average. What does that tell you about the stock market?
That tells me that there is good demand for these individual stocks out there. It also says to me that every little dip wants to get bought, and so the psychology is that people are missing it, but they're fearful. And this pain trade is up, and we continue to see, again, this rotation. And I think the theme that we want to take into consideration here, and I'll come back to your question, Peggy, in just a sec, but as we see this money rotating out of fixed income and coming into equities, I think the most challenging thing that every investor is going to face coming up is actually staying in this market. They're going to hear all these concerns about this market has moved too far, it's been too long, too many days above a 50-day moving average, and they're going to get shaken out on little dips and pullbacks like we've seen over the last couple of weeks. To me, it just means we're, in terms of the number of stocks above their 50-day and the 200-day, to me it just says that we are in a nice, healthy uptrend, and there is no change of trend happening right now.
Gotcha. And Craig, we're having kind of trouble hearing you. I'm not sure if it's us or it's cell phones. But you know, while we're on the topic of charts, are there any charts that you track at Piper that are of concern to you and your group? Maybe sector specific that might indicate something?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do is we actually rank every single stock on the New York and NASDAQ and then also all the industry groups, and we put out recommendations. And so right now we're recommending investors be overweight the energy sector on this pullback. We want to be buying that. We want to be buying basic materials, and we also want to be buying the technology stocks. We also want to be underweight utilities, consumer cyclical stocks, and also staples. And right now, that's where we want to put our sector bets in terms of the market. So those are some of the charts that we're watching at PJC right now in terms of an asset allocation toward equities.
Interesting. We are pretty close to that here. We do believe in overweighting energy. We have a lot of confidence in energy stocks, especially in the midstream section, coming back strong. But all right, folks, we'll stick with us to the Tuesday edition of Straight Talk Money. We'll be right back after these important announcements.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Folks, thanks for joining us for this segment. We have Craig Johnson, who is a senior technical research analyst with Piper Jaffray. Craig, thank you for joining us today. You know, we were discussing charts and you know, folks, if you're just joining us, you know, technical analysts look at charts, they look at trends, they look at volume, where fundamental analysts look at balance sheets and cash flow. And Craig and I were discussing, you know, what he was seeing that is of concern, and he was discussing asset allocation. And one of the things he said was that, you know, overweighting energy, basic materials is something that they were looking at, underweighting consumer goods, utilities. You know, Craig, is there anything you can add to, you know, our because we're in Houston and we have so many listeners in Denver, you know, energy is always an interest, mainly because so many of our listeners are employed by energy companies. Is there any kind of anything more you can add to the charts that you're seeing specifically in energy that might be of concern or just interest to our listener base?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look first at the big picture of energy, let's start with the crude oil price. Mm-hmm. So if you look at a crude oil chart, you'll notice that over the last couple of years, we've been making a series of higher lows and higher highs, which is by definition an uptrend. But the most recent pullback we'd seen in crude oil over the last couple of weeks pulled right back to the lower end of that upward trending price channel. You also looked at some of the technical indicators such as relative strength index and some of those tools, and you had seen that this most recent pullback, you had actually gotten the crude oil price oversold. We came right down to the lower end of that channel and the price started to bounce, and now it looks like we're poised to go test at least the upper end perhaps of that trending price channel, which could put oil prices up toward, you know, $55 or somewhere in that kind of range. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily, when you come back and then look at the relative performance, meaning take the relative price, meaning the stocks divided by the overall market itself for energy, and you'll notice that you're starting to see a relative strength improvement happening in the crude oil price, in the individual stocks versus the market. So what that tells me is that a lot of managers have sold or reduced their positions in the energy sector, and we are now starting to see a rebound in the energy sector itself compared to the rest of the stocks in the market, which is going to gather a lot of attention from the individual portfolio managers who had reduced their positions in energy are now going to be looking to add back positions. So there's two things that I'm looking at there. And then when I come down into the individual charts themselves, in terms of the energy sector, I'm starting to see a lot more stocks kind of looking like they bottomed out on the charts. And that's really when I'm interested in stepping up and trying to buy some of those kind of names, and specifically in the E&P patch, and even in some of the offshore drilling areas are starting to look a lot more interesting on the weekly charts, Jace.
So to kind of recap, what you're seeing is not only energy prices stabilizing, but you're really seeing from your technical indicators and your volume, you're seeing that energy equity prices, you know, have really stabilized, and you think they're gonna make a run forward at this point.
I think they're poised to move ahead. I'm not sure run, but definitely poised for a new leg higher. And the selling wave that we had seen in the energy sector over the last couple of months is probably done. I mean, keep in mind, energy has been it has gone from best to worst from the fourth quarter of last year through the first quarter of this year, and I think that selling is probably done. So I'd be looking for some outperformance in energy, the energy sector, here in the second and third quarter, and maybe for the rest of 2017.
Is there any subsector of energy that your team specifically likes? E&P over midstream, midstream over downstream, or do you lump them all in the same category?
Well, when I go through and I look at the overall energy names, I would say that some of the E&P names are the ones that have kind of corrected the most. A lot of these stocks have come back right to their rising 40-week moving averages, which tells me that that was just kind of a move and that the longer-term trend is still there. So I would tell you that it's more or less the E&P guys that look the most constructive to me right now.
Okay. E&P. All right.
So actually, Craig, I mean, you still seem rather bullish on the market.
Absolutely. I mean, don't let my 24-24 price objective fool anybody out there. I'm still very much a believer that this secular bull market has more room to run. But what I like to do is I'd like to set a target, and I set that 2424 number back in, I think it was November, late November of last year. And I'd like to see that target get hit. And once that target gets hit, I will then come back and, you know, put out a new price objective. And I don't think that this advance is over. I've always said that secular bull markets like the one that I believe that we're in now, which to me started in the fall of, I made that call in the fall of 2012. We really confirmed it when we broke above the 2000 and 2007 highs in 2013. I think this secular bull market will have years to run, not, you know, quarters like some are suggesting. And I think you'll ultimately see the secular bull market work until there's at least a 5% 10-year bond yield. And I think you're years away from seeing any sort of 5% 10-year bond yield.
Let me ask you this. From the technical side, are you seeing fundamentals having a more impact on your research? Are you seeing Trump's tweets or forward promises from his administration having a more of an impact?
I would say that right now in this market, the biggest overlying trend, I would put one above those, Chase, which is the pure asset allocation shift from money starting to come out of fixed income and coming into equities.
Okay.
That is going to have more, I think, of a impact because it's going to continue to push these stocks higher as that rotation happens.
Sure.
Put that together with the movement of money coming out of active into passive, and I will tell you that the fundamental metrics in these things become less important because the money just kind of indiscriminately goes into these names and into those sectors. And so it's more of a asset allocation shift that's happening in the market than it is any individual company specific. And I know that's kind of not as intuitive when you think about the market and stocks and those kind of things, but it's just the movement of that money is a bigger driver right now.
Gotcha. So you're seeing institutional money managers saying, hey, we have a rising interest rate market, you know, the bond seesaw, we're going to start moving out of fixed income into equities. And, you know, just because of, you know, their mandates, they're going to high quality names in those sectors. And that's, you're seeing that as a much more, you know, a bigger driver than anything that's going on with the new administration.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the new administration in Washington, the economy was improving and jobs were coming back and those kind of things were already in progress and happening. The Trump administration added some accelerant to that, which is a positive, but the removal of rules and regulations are helping that too. But still, at this point in time, it was the economy that was driving these different pieces and then the asset allocation stuff. I'll tell you that it was about, probably in my mind, about two-thirds institutional and the other two-thirds are coming from individual investors. They open up their statements every single month and they say, wow, the Dow's at all-time new highs. I've got these fixed income instruments, which they want to have, but they're not seeing appreciation in those portfolios. So it's leading to some shifting from fixed income into equities, and I think that ultimately is a good thing for investors.
All right, folks, stay with us. The Tuesday edition of Straight Talk Money with Craig Johnson. We'll be right back after these important announcements.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions. Welcome back, everybody. This is the final segment of the Tuesday edition of Straight Talk Money. And you got Peggy Tuck along with Chase Robertson. And also we have Craig Johnson on the phone. Craig is a managing director and senior technical research analyst. He also directs Piper Jaffray's technical research group. And we're really thrilled to have him today. He's in New York for a big conference right now. So everybody, welcome back to the show. And Craig, I mean, you've really been giving us some great analytics here. It's almost a shame sometimes that we're not on TV so we could hold up some of the charts and show everyone. But as Dave Dyer always says, well, you know, the FBI and everybody else and the CIA, they're watching. So
yeah.
So, you know, we have been talking about some of the analytics, and of course, everybody always talks about the fact that, you know, watch the Dow, watch the S&P, you know, we've heard all that, but should we be looking at the Russell and what the Russell is doing? Apparently, it had a little bit of a pullback, and is it considered the canary in the coal mine?
Well, the Russell is a very much broader indicator and indice than what you have with the Dow. I mean, the Dow is 30 stocks, and my wonderful mom always says, you see what the Dow did today? And I'm like, Mom, it's 30 stocks. But when you come back and you look at the Russell 2000, that's 2,000 stocks. And what was really interesting about the Russell last week was it outperformed the Dow. It outperformed the S&P 500. So we're starting to see a pickup in the number of stocks that are beginning to advance and participate in this market, which to me is a very healthy sign when it's very broad-based. As a technician, strategist, I get concerned when it's only a few stocks in the market that is pushing up these indices. That's not a very healthy sign. But the broader the base, the bigger the move, the longer it ultimately lasts. And that's why I come back and reiterate to everybody that this is a real secular bull market. There has been rotation that has occurred. That's healthy. That's good. And every little short-term pullback has been swift, it's been quick, yeah, it's been painful. But typically when you see those kind of moves, that's the sign of a healthy bull market that's got more room to run.
Now, Craig, when we were discussing during the break, you know, we were discussing some of your calls for, you know, the 10-year. You know, I found that interesting, and I really like the theme of you guys tracking money coming out of fixed income and going into equities. You know, is there anything that you want to add to your, you know, 275, 300 range for the 10-year, and really why you have, you know, such strong conviction that number's going to hit within your research?
Yeah, so there's a couple things here. So what I have said and where I'm in print right now is I believe the 10-year bond yield will reach 3 to 3.25 by the end of 2017. And as a technician, I like looking back at bonds, commodities, currencies, and equities. The key thing for me to watch right now in the fixed income market is the downtrend line off of the 1981 highs on the 10-year bond yield. And if we see a close above about 275 to 3, on a 30-year trend change, I'm not going to get precise to two decimal places. I'm going to look at it as kind of a range. And once we get into that range, I think is when you're going to start to see an acceleration in the asset allocation shift from money coming out of fixed income and going into equities. Reason being, all the individual investors, terrific individual investors, are going to look at their account and say, wow, I'm not making money right now. I'm losing money in fixed income. But yet, the Dow, the Russell, the S&P are new highs. We need to make a shift. And that is when you'll start to see that rotation really start to kick in, and you'll see the popular averages pushed to even higher levels than where they are at now. Just human nature, human psychology.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, we've stayed out of traditional fixed income now for over 12 months. Really been playing the preferred equity channel, and have had a lot of success with that because, you know, the rise in interest rates hasn't had the same impact on preferred equities as it has on bonds. Not to mention our manager has done an unbelievable job, Elias Stambinski, of buying undervalued preferreds and, you know, catching some of the upside there in addition to delivering a strong quarterly yield for our customers, our clients looking for income in addition to the underlying appreciation. Which is great. Well, you know, Craig, the theme of money leaving fixed income and going into equities is interesting because one of the things that we really track here are demographics. But really dialing down those demographics is, you know, what people are doing with their money. So the flow of money and how, you know, the baby boomer spending habits impact the market. Do you see, When you're discussing people looking at their statements, do you see that really, you know, kind of correlated or narrowed down to to baby boomers? Are you seeing that movement across, you know, kind of the institutional managers too?
I would say that it's happening across all demographic ages. I mean, individual investors kind of respectfully act like the U.S. government, right? They don't do something until there's a problem. And then when there's a problem, they want quick, fast action in terms of dealing with things. So when they open up their statements at the end of the month and see that, well, I'm lagging the broader market and my fixed income holdings are not doing as well as other things, they're then going to react and, you know, ultimately come back and make a change. I would also just add to your demographics comment, Chase, and think about this. We know that this millennium generation is the biggest population boom since we had the baby boom generation. And respectfully and politely, the baby boom generation is getting older. And unfortunately, some of them are passing away. And, you know, they had kind of an age-based approach to asset allocation where they owned a lot more fixed income. So now when you go from that generation down to the younger generation, the need to own fixed income perhaps isn't quite as pressing or as high at this point in time. So you're going to get a little bit of a asset allocation shift from that too.
It's a really interesting comment because, you know, as we prospect, younger professionals with the idea that, you know, investing time with them and building that relationship now as they become more wealthier, as they grow, you know, our firm grows. But, you know, you talk to someone my age, you talk to someone 10, 15 years older than me, no interest in fixed income, don't know much about it, don't, you know, don't see any kind of avenue to investing, just equities, and just equities that have, you know, kind of those hot names. You know, we've met with some great clients this week, and you know, it's Google or Alphabet, it's Facebook. You know, those are the stocks they want. No other kind of cash flow plays, even away from, hey, take the cash flow and then diversify into something else, which I'm a big cash flow investor. But it's interesting that you're also seeing that, because we're kind of seeing that same trend of this next generation not needing it, but also not wanting it. I mean, not wanting to have anything to do with it.
Right. Chase, I'd add, that's kind of like Peter Lynch investing to a degree, right? Back in his day and age, it was about Target. It was about the retail stores, the malls, and those kind of things. And now this next generation coming up is more about Snapchat, Facebook, Amazon, buying these things online. Totally different set of interests and how they consume. So it makes sense that the new generation is less interested in fixed income.
Yeah, no. All right, folks. Well, this is it. We'd like to thank Craig Johnson for joining us. Great show with Craig. Have a great week. Chase Robertson, Peggy Tuck, Straight Talk Money. See you tomorrow. And as my dad was always say, God bless. Have a great day. There's a hazy shade of winter.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.